you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everyone, I'm JJ Stankovitz for CSNChicago.com here with Mark Schanowski, who will be hosting Bears Blitz, Bears Huddle, and Bears Recap this year for us on CSN Chicago. Mark, welcome to Hallis Hall.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the Bears beat. It's been a few years since I've been covering the team on a day-to-day basis, but there's a lot of interesting storylines with the quarterback front and center. And today, of course, we found out that Mitch Trubisky is going to be the number two man behind Mike Glennon, which immediately sets up the scenario. If you have an injury, the rookie's going to be in there. And it shows that the front office and the coaching staff had a tremendous amount of confidence in Trubisky. And he showed so much better in preseason than I think anyone really expected. They knew he had the physical talent, but his ability to be so accurate throwing the ball on the run, his ability to pick up changes in defense and be able to get his offense in the right formations, he's just way ahead of the curve. And I think there's a situation where if things aren't going well, we could see Trubisky a lot faster than a lot of people expected.
I liked what Dahl Loggins had to say today on Wednesday when he met with the media, that when he was asked, you know, where did Mitch Trubisky improve from the start of training camp to now, he was like, he basically said, well, remember when the whole snapping thing was an issue where he was putting all these balls on the ground and he had never taken a snap under center before? But beyond that, just a lot of the pre-snap stuff, the operation of the offense, he's improved week to week. And talking to some of his teammates during training camp in the preseason, they all said he's getting more comfortable with the calls. He's getting more confident in the huddle. And I think that's the biggest thing that's holding him back still from being the starter, is that the Bears can trust Mike Glennon to run and operate the offense better than they can Mitch Trubisky. But like you said, Mark, he's one play away from going in there now. Yeah. It's not going to be Mark Sanchez. And if something were to happen to Mike Glennon on Sunday, we could see Mitch Trubisky's NFL debut in the first game of the season.
I think it was interesting to me from both Fox and Loggins was that you could see in their faces that they were legitimately surprised. You know, they expected he'd have the normal learning curve that any rookie quarterback does coming into the league. And listening to their comments, they said that their coaches were just so impressed by the way he picked things up, not only learning the offense, but the things that you mentioned, you know, identifying the Mike linebacker and making sure that the guy in motion is going at the right time. He just is not fazed by so many of the complexities that trouble a lot of young NFL quarterbacks. And I think that's been a pleasant surprise for the coaches, and they realize that if something does happen to Glennon, or if the team gets off to a slow start, they can make a change and go to this rookie who brings a new dimension to the offense. Dahl Loggins was asked about, you know, what would you do if you had to play Trubisky? And he said, well, we have complete confidence in him, but he said there would be a different package of plays based on the fact he's got more mobility, he can throw on the run, and he can also make plays with his feet. So if he gets in, the offense is going to change dramatically. I mean, Glennon, this is his first year in this system. He hasn't started a game in a couple of years, so they've had to work a lot with him in terms of getting him ready for the opener, making sure that his skills are sharp and he's got a good grasp of the offense. Now they almost have to prepare two quarterbacks because they don't know when the change could come.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with Trubisky that I kind of circled on, so we hadn't talked to Dahl Loggins until the last time we talked to him was before the first preseason game. So that was a lot about, well, what do you want to see from Mitch when he gets on the field? Now we have a full month, essentially, of tape. And what stood out to me about what Loggins said is that we've thrown so much at him, and we've been hard on him, and he keeps on taking it well, and he keeps on improving from it. That, to me, gives me confidence that if he does go into a game, if he does have to go into a middle of a game, that's going to be a very difficult situation because it's going to mean something happened to Mike Glennon. The score may not be where the Bears want it to be, ideally. He may be throwing to a group of receivers that hasn't had someone step forward yet and really emerge. And maybe Trubisky's the guy who can make everyone around him better as soon as he steps into a game at his NFL debut. I think that's sort of your rosiest outlook of this, is that when Mitch Trubisky makes his NFL debut, maybe he makes the guys around him better. And, I mean, look, you know, we talk about the operation. We talk about the pre-snap reads and, you know, making adjustments and that. But the fact that he's already second in line, he's one play away, to really emphasize that, from getting into a game, means that the Bears trust him with a lot of that stuff. Because if they didn't, they have a perfectly good and capable backup quarterback in Mark Sanchez on this roster who they could say, well, we're just going to plug him in, and then maybe if it's serious to Glenn and Trubisky comes in later, this will be Mitch Trubisky's show and it won't be Mark Sanchez's. And I think that's another really interesting point.
The thing that I really was struck by today in listening to Mike Glennon's news conference was he got two or three questions about Trubisky and how has Trubisky developed and what's it like to have the rookie move up to number two on the depth chart. Here's a guy who hasn't started a game in a couple of years. He has played four times against the Atlanta Falcons in his career and put up pretty good numbers. So the focus you would think from the media would be Mike Glennon and his first regular season start with the Bears. Instead, he's getting bombarded with questions about his backup. You know, I thought that was a little bit unfair in a lot of different ways. And you really have to pull for Mike Glennon. I know the fans are excited to see Trubisky, but here's a guy that got pushed out in Tampa when Lovie Smith was the coach over there on a couple different occasions. Of course, they drafted Jameis Winston, which ultimately was going to push him aside. But he really hasn't caught a break in his career. And he does have some skills in terms of being a pretty accurate passer. He can throw the deep ball. There's no reason to think that he can't play well in this offense. The game plans in the preseason were very vanilla. They didn't throw down the field a lot. And I thought he showed some good things in the Tennessee game when they did put in more of a game plan for him in the third preseason game. I think Glennon has the potential to be a solid NFL starter. I think he's a better option than say, Brian Hoyer was a year ago, certainly better than Matt Barkley. And he may surprise some people with a good game plan, with a solid defense backing him up. I think he's going to be okay. The fan base is going to want to see Mitch Trubisky. I think those of us in the media, we're interested to see what he's got as well. But I think that, first of all, let's give Glennon a shot.
Yeah, you know, he certainly deserves that shot based on what the Bears signed him to, you know, to that contract and what they've said about him. Ryan Pace emphasized over and over on Wednesday in, you know, his about 10-15 minute chat with the media that, look, we're confident in Mike Glennon. I think if you're looking at sort of your best case outcome with Glennon, it's that what we saw in the preseason is him just shaking off the rust, because he only threw 11 passes in the last 2 years. And that, you know, no one can come in basically cold and be successful right off the bat if you've basically taken 2 years off. That's tough to do. But that being said, the questions about Glennon, I think you have to combine the whole passing game. It's not just on Mike Glennon. It's now about the receivers without Cameron Meredith. It's can Mike Glennon and Kevin White form a connection? Can Kevin White be that guy? Can Kendall Wright continue to be the guy who we saw against Tennessee where he caught three third down? He converted three third downs from Glennon. Can Marcus Wheaton be healthy? Can he be the guy who stretches the field and gives Glennon that option to throw a deep ball that we haven't really seen him throw? So, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of questions going into the season, but the Bears are going to go in with Mike Glennon. The biggest question I had, and we were kind of talking about this before we came on the podcast, was like, what if Mike Glennon is just fine? What if he is, Mark, kind of like you said, he's solid, he's not spectacular, but he's just fine. And the Bears are maybe, you know, 3-4, 4-5, you sort of feel like they're spinning their wheels. Does fine allow Mike Glennon to keep his job? I think that's the biggest question here, and that's why, quite frankly, Mike Glennon probably needs to get used to getting asked questions about Mitch Trubisky going forward.
Yeah, there's no question that's not going to stop as the season continues. With the schedule stacked the way it is, they're not going to get out of the gates going 4-2 or 5-1 and be the talk of the NFL. So
if they are, that's a really good sign.
Then we got a story. Yeah, no question about it. You just mentioned the wide receivers, and it was interesting. Ryan Pace talked to the assembled media for about 13 minutes. He was asked a couple of times about the wide receivers, and he got a little defensive, you know, saying, "Oh, I think they're going to be fine. They'll step up when the games count for real." But who's going to step up? I mean, their number one receiver from last year, Cameron Meredith, unfortunately, was lost to a season-ending knee injury. He's going to be hard to replace. They just do not have a lot of depth in that area. Kevin White was drafted out of West Virginia with a guy who could run a 4.3 40, had that game-changing speed. But after two serious leg injuries, I don't know if he's going to have that speed anymore. And the rest of the guys you mentioned, you know, Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, these are journeyman types. These are not elite receivers. And whether it's Glennon, whether it's Trubisky, whether it's Mark Sanchez, if you don't have receivers that can create some separation from the defensive backs, you're not going to find a lot of guys running wide open. And I think they're going to have to be creative in their play calling maybe take advantage of a guy like Tariq Cohen, who can have some game-changing talents as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Go to your tight ends more, and maybe they can find some ways to convert first downs in that fashion. I think the wide receiver thing is going to be an issue all season long. I mean, we've heard they had four guys in for tryouts on Tuesday. They're already thinking that, well, maybe we can upgrade this group, and I think that's going to be a conversation that continues throughout the season.
Yeah, you know, when Dahl Loggins said on Wednesday, you know, it's the receivers are probably going to be, it's going to be by committee, basically, that it's, you know, it's going to be a collective effort. And to me, whenever I hear collective effort and by committee, it's because no one's good enough to be that number one guy. And, you know, I think we talked about it on the podcast last week where I had J.B. Long, the Los Angeles Rams play-by-play radio announcer on, and we were talking about Jared Goff and just the struggles he had last year, where he didn't have a receiver who could at least stretch the field. So then safeties were just cheating down in the box. Yeah. Todd Gurley averaged, I think, like 3 yards a carry. It was just an awful offense. That sort of is your worst-case outlook for this Bears offense, is that you aren't able to stretch the field because Glennon maybe isn't able to, whether it's on Glennon, whether it's on a receiver, they just can't throw a deep ball. Then that becomes a big issue for Jordan Howard. I think, Mark, your point about Tariq Cohen is a really good one, because he's that guy who you can line him up in the backfield, then you can split him out wide, maybe into the slot. He didn't catch a pass during preseason play, which I thought was really interesting. He caught 98 at North Carolina A&T. That's a big part of his game that the Bears did not tap into, which means they didn't put it on film. So maybe you can surprise some folks with Tariq Cohen coming out in week one against Atlanta by getting him the ball in space by passing it.
And I think they also have some different options with the tight end group. You know, Adam Shaheen, you have the height, the 6'7 guy that you could maybe throw the ball to over the middle. Zach Miller has always been a guy who could stretch the defense, being able to get downfield with pretty good speed for a tight end. They're going to have to find different ways to challenge the defense. And as you mentioned, I think that 1-2 punch at running back now with Jordan Howard and Cohen is going to be the strength of that offense. Howard showed last year that he's durable. He can get tough yards inside. He was second in the NFL in rushing behind Ezekiel Elliott. And I know that he set a goal for himself to try to lead the entire NFL this year. I think he's going to be solid. I think Cohen has showed that not only is he elusive at 5'6", but he runs with some power. I mean, this kid is not afraid to run between the tackles. So I think he's going to add a lot to the offense. It's just going to be how effective can the offensive line be. I know that Ryan Pace spoke optimistically about Kyle Long, saying that he's doing well. We don't know for sure if he's going to play week one against the Falcons, but you get the impression that they're counting on him being an important part of that offensive line. In the offseason, we thought if Kyle Long could rehab the injury and be back at 100%, that could be a real strength. But now, you know, you're kind of wondering if they're going to hold up because the depth behind their starters is questionable.
Yeah, you know, we thought the interior of the offensive line, even from, you know, you're looking at it at the combine. I remember writing one of the first things I ever wrote on this beat was about how strong the interior of the Bears offensive line could be. And, yeah, that's thrown into flux. If Kyle Long isn't available, that could become a problem for Jordan Howard and for Tariq Cohen, but also for Mike Glennon. If you don't have that sort of safety net in the pocket there, you're right about the tight ends. They need a Zach Miller to be able to stretch the field. They need Deion Sims to be a red zone guy. We didn't see enough from Adam Shaheen during preseason to really say he's ready to contribute. And John Fox was asked about that on Wednesday, and he brought up a point that is, you know, pretty fair, that, look, rookie tight ends don't contribute that much. Usually it's year two, year three when you start to see them break out. But Shaheen was just relatively kind of invisible in terms of the passing game, which is why even a guy like Daniel Brown, a more of a pass-catching tight end, could get some looks in the offense. Again, the collective, you can say that we're going to do it by committee and it is going to be a collective effort, but you got to find someone to step up there, because when push comes to shove, if you're in the red zone in a close game and you're facing 3rd and 7 from the 11-yard line, you're going to have to pass the ball, and you're going to need that reliable guy to go to in that situation. It should have been Cameron Meredith, if not for the injury, but here we are where we have quite a few more questions about this Bears offense now.
And they better score some points in the opener on Sunday, because the Atlanta Falcons put up, what, about 33 points a game last year? That is an explosive offense, so it's going to be a big challenge for the front seven of the Bears defense, which is probably the strong point of the game. So let's talk some defense in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get into the defense after the break here and do a little more previewing of the Atlanta Falcons, because I think most of this game will probably hinge on how the Bears' defense does against that Matt Ryan attack.
It's sports. It's social. It's fun. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi. And it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop. every night, 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN.
Welcome back to the Bears Talk podcast on CSNChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined here by Mark Schanowski at Hallis Hall. Mark, we're finally talking about a game that actually matters for the first time in, what are we at, about 9 months now? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit too long, but the Atlanta Falcons, obviously the defending Super Bowl champs, if not for that New England comeback where it was, they're up 28-3, and then the Patriots wound up winning, as you all know. We kind of teased it right before the break that this game probably is going to come down to how the Bears' defense fares against Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and that really good Falcons offense. What has been your impression so far of how the Bears have talked about their defense so far going into this game?
Well, we knew that the front seven was supposed to be the strength. That was something that was talked about during the offseason and going into the start of training camp. And a very big positive is that Danny Trevathan is back from a very serious knee injury, and he's in the starting lineup for the Sunday game against the Falcons. Pernell McPhee, who was on the PUP list during training camp, has been activated, part of the 53, and he spoke to the media on Wednesday saying that it's up to God to decide whether or not he's going to be ready to go, and that's a fair statement. No one knows for sure exactly how we're going to be feeling, but he was a little bit cryptic, and that's a little bit of a concern because here's a guy who's had a succession of knee issues throughout his career. He came to the Bears as a free agent from the Baltimore Ravens, really showed a lot in his first year in his ability to rush the quarterback. If you could get a healthy McPhee back to link in with the rest of those guys, then you've got a rotation going where you can put a lot of fear into opposing quarterbacks. I really like the progress Leonard Floyd has showed. We didn't see a lot of him in preseason because they don't play their starters a lot. But he looks stronger. He looks more confident in his ability to counter off his speed rush. I think he's going to be an impact player. I think Akeem Hicks is poised for a big season. I really like the 1-2 punch inside with Freeman and Trevathan. You've got Willie Young on the other side. This is a really good front seven. And I know that they're hoping the secondary is going to be improved. We can get to that in a little bit. But I think the front seven is a strength. I think they can put pressure on Matt Ryan. Hopefully they can hold up against Devontae Freeman and the Falcons' running game. But I think the defense is going to keep the Bears in most of the games this year. It's just a question of can they force some turnovers and get good field position for their offense.
Yeah, the turnovers are the most interesting thing to me because you're going to go into this game with a completely different starting secondary than you had last year. Whether it's Kyle Fuller or Prince Mukamara at cornerback, depending on Mukamara's availability. Then you'll have Quinton Demps and Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, not Adrian Amos, at safety. And then Marcus Cooper at the other cornerback. That is a completely redone secondary, but that had to happen. This team only had 8 interceptions last year. Matt Ryan threw 7. So, something is going to have to give there for this new-look Bears secondary where they're going to have to turn the ball over, but you're going up against a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over that much. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Sort of, are the Bears, if they're not turning the ball over, are they near the ball? Are they making plays on receivers and stopping the Falcons from creating explosive plays and marching downfield? It's going to have to be symbiotic with the front seven, though, because you're going to have to get pressure from Leonard Floyd and Willie Young. Eddie Goldman in the middle is going to have to be big in stopping the run. Same with Akeem Hicks. You're going to have to get pressure, slow down the run game, and then hope the secondary can make a couple plays because that is the one area of concern I still have about this defense. We saw it against Tennessee where I believe it was Taywan Taylor broke off a 50-something yard play where Eddie Jackson, Quinton Demps, and Cravon LeBlanc all missed tackles. You can't have that in the regular season if you want this defense to still be the reason why you're in a lot of games.
Well, remember back to the offseason, Ryan Pace went big game hunting trying to land a cornerback, mm-hmm. and they were not successful in free agency, so they had to move down to their next level on the wish list. And Mukamara was a high draft pick out of Nebraska, but really has not shown that much during his NFL career. They also brought in Marcus Cooper, who was pretty solid in Arizona, but not exactly what you call a ball hawk type of guy. Quinton Demps was last year for the Texans. He's able to get interceptions from the safety position. I think that's a major upgrade. And I think Eddie Jackson coming in from a high-profile program like Alabama is going to be an upgrade over what they got from Adrian Amos. Just the fact that a fourth-round draft pick is starting in week one shows you how highly the coaches think of him and maybe that they weren't that high in what Amos can bring. The defensive secondary has to find a way to force turnovers, and they're going to be severely tested in week one because the Falcons have offensive weapons all over the field. As we mentioned, they averaged over 30 points a game last year, got all the way to the Super Bowl, and should have won the game. They're a very potent offense. I think that you're going to see Vic Fangio coming with a variety of blitzes to try to get Ryan off his timing, and hopefully they can get home a few times, because if they can't get pressure on Ryan, he's going to pick apart that secondary.
I think the blitzes is a really interesting thing to follow, because, you know, in talking to some players about their fit in Vic Fangio's defense and their confidence in it, a lot of guys made the point to me that, you know, it's not just Leonard Floyd and Jonathan Bullard and Nick Kwiatkowski that are in their second year in the NFL. They're also in their second year in Vic Fangio's defense, as are Akeem Hicks, Jarrell Freeman, Danny Trevathan, some of these veterans. And Trevathan's made the comment a couple of times of being like, almost, you know, like, I kind of hope we blitz more. And I think you may see more of that, given that guys have a better understanding of the defense in year two, whether they're a veteran or a second-year guy. And just the ability to play faster within this Vic Fangio defense should allow them to get to the quarterback a little bit more, or at least attempt to get to the quarterback a little bit more. And then that goes hand-in-hand with the secondary. If you're getting to the quarterback, it's going to create more opportunities for a Marcus Cooper, who had four interceptions last year, to build upon that. Or even a Mukamara, who, like you said, hasn't really been productive with interceptions. But when he was healthy during training camp, he was around the ball quite a bit. So that was at least encouraging to see there. Eddie Jackson is the definition of a ball-hawking safety. He's got great ball skills, moves really well. He almost had that one-handed interception against Arizona. A guy, the biggest question about him is his tackling, kind of going back to the Taywan Taylor play in Tennessee. But, yeah, I like how the Bears can sort of attack the Falcons this week with a potentially more aggressive defense that then tees up the secondary to make a couple plays.
The nice thing, too, about the defense, there are some veterans there, and they have some confidence. And talking to guys like Jarrell Freeman and Hicks, there's a swagger about these guys. They're not going to be overwhelmed. I talked to Freeman today and asked him about facing Matt Ryan and that Falcons offense, and he goes, well, we're not going to look at them like they're world beaters. You know, they're just another NFL team coming in our place. There's no reason why we can't shut them down, why we can't be effective against that group. And you like to hear that. On the offensive side, you got a lot of young guys counted on for key roles. You got a rather inexperienced Mike Glennon as your starting quarterback, and there's so much uncertainty about what the offense can do. On defense, these guys are going to come in with swagger and playing in front of the fans at Soldier Field. They're going to try to get the crowd fired up by getting some big hits on Ryan and the rest of the Falcons players, and showing that this can be like an old-style Bears team where the defense is going to keep the score down, is going to keep the fans interested, and keep the game close, where the offense is going to have a chance to win it just by making a few big plays along the way. So I think in terms of fans either going out to Soldier Field or watching the game on television, look for the defense to set the tone. If they can force a couple of turnovers, get good field position for the offense, we've seen a lot of crazy upsets in week one. Why not the Bears?
It's tough to come back week one after losing the Super Bowl. I can't remember the record off the top of my head, but I want to say the last seven losers might be 1-6. You guys can fact check that if I'm wrong, but it's something along those lines. It's not good. It's going to be interesting if the offense can just continue to move the ball. Like you said, get good field position, but it's on Mike Glennon to not turn the ball over. If we go back to him, that is the number one thing you cannot have from a quarterback who's a quote-unquote game manager. I don't think, you know, anyone in this building is necessarily using that title for him, but that's what he sort of profiles as. He's more of that game manager. Well, your game manager can't turn the ball over like he did against Denver in preseason one or Arizona in preseason game two. You need to see more of what we saw against Tennessee, where in that first drive they came out with a really good game plan, they moved the ball efficiently, and they got in the end zone. After the concern there is that after Cam Meredith got hurt, the offense kind of stalled a little bit. So, but then again, Mike Glennon didn't throw an interception there. So as long as your quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, I think this offense will be fine, because we still shouldn't underestimate what Jordan Howard can do, even if opposing defenses are keying on him and pulling guys down into the box. Jordan Howard's still a great running back who I think can do some good things against the Falcons' defense.
I think one of the things that Bears fans are concerned about is that John Fox is kind of a throwback in terms of his coaching style. And the NFL's become kind of a video game league, high passing totals, wide open offenses. You know, the Bears are going to use a fullback. Very few teams in the NFL do utilize one, because they want to be a run-oriented team. Most teams in the NFL want to spread out four wide. They want to use creative formations and multiple tight end sets and different ways to get the ball downfield. The Bears are going to be, you know, could be back to the old Woody Hayes days, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They're going to have Jordan Howard running left, right, and up the middle. And I think they're going to try to control the clock, rely on their defense to keep them in it, and hopefully to try to steal some games late. And as Glennon develops as the season goes on, or if they go to Trubisky at some point down the line, maybe they'll be able to open up the passing game with an emergence of Tariq Cohen, possibly Kevin White, as guys that could be game changers on the offensive end. It's very hard to predict how good this team is going to be. You know, the division is pretty strong. You've got the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings all with ambitions of trying to get to the playoffs. And it's going to be difficult with the schedule for the Bears to make a huge jump from 3-13 to even get to that 500 mark. But because of the fact that you've got the Trubisky factor, you've got a developing Leonard Floyd, you've got Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, and some guys to watch, I think it's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a fun season too. And I'm not going to go here and go on record with a prediction for the Falcons game, but I will say this. I will not be shocked if the Bears win. I'll be like, you know what? That kind of made some sense probably after the game if the Bears do upset the Falcons in week one. That being said, the odds still are in the Falcons' favor to win this game, just given where they ended last season, even though it wasn't the way they would like to, but given also where the Bears ended last season. So we'll go into Sunday, and like you said, Mark, a lot of interesting storylines to follow, not only Sunday but in the regular season. Let's get it going. I'm fired up. As Ryan Pace said, you know, we're fired up about this, and that's going into the season how I think everyone should be feeling about this team.
Yeah, let's kick it off. Let's get it going and see how far the Bears have progressed since the 3-13 season of a year ago. We'll be tracking the progress of the young guys throughout the season, and I think that's going to be the big storyline. It's interesting in Chicago sports right now, you've got three of the five major teams that are really in a rebuilding mode, and that can be painful in terms of wins and losses, but there's a lot of fun along the way watching the young guys get better.
Mitch Trubisky and Yoan Moncada were the same number.
There you go. You got something. And there, yeah. Penn's retired for the Bulls. So
can't do that for the Bulls, unfortunately. All right, that'll do it for us from Hallis Hall. Remember, you can watch the season debut of Bears pregame and postgame live at 11 a.m. on Sunday, and then immediately following the Bears-Falcons game. For Mark Schanowski, I'm J.J. Stankovic for CSNChicago.com.